Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another audio review. I am Super Marcy, and I'm joined by my podcasting co-host, Bede Jermyn, the terrible Australian. Hello, Bede.
Hello, Marcy. How's
How
it going?
Are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks. I'm pretty good, thanks.
We're just a bit stunned there.
Yeah, I was a bit stunned, but I thought we'd go straight into the review. But I'm good, thanks. I hope everything's well with you.
Yes. Doing well. We are both getting through some of the lineup for the Fantasia International Film Festival 2020, which, as we've mentioned previously, is online this year. So yep. We've actually had the chance to check out the festival. The latest movie that we will be reviewing as part of the festival is Monster Seafood Wars from 2020. This film has a bit of a long synopsis, which I will read from IMDb. So, Yuta, a young master at, I think it's Juku Fish Market, accidentally drops his meal of mixed seafood into the Sumida River. Sometime afterward, basically like a minute, a gigantic mutated squid monster arises from the depths and begins to wreak havoc upon an awe-stricken Tokyo. Attempts by the Japan Self-Defense Forces to stop the creature prove futile, as it seems things couldn't get any worse. An enormous mutant octopus monster emerges from the deep and heads into a clash of the titans with the gargantuan squid. As a last-ditch effort, the government forms the Seafood Monster Attack Team, SMAT, as an all-new plan of and an all-new plan of attack is immediately put into action. But just as the tide appears to be turning in humanity's favor, a colossal crab monster appears, joining in the Monster Seafood Wars and plunging the world into culinary chaos. That was a very long-winded plot synopsis from IMDb.
Exactly.
but yeah, basically, this happens in the span of like 5 minutes that two giant monsters have shown up in Tokyo. The film was The film was Minuki, so her is Masakazu. I cannot pronounce names, and I'm so sorry.
I can do it.
Masakatsu Migida and Eiji Tsubura? I'm so sorry to these people that I cannot pronounce names. And it stars Ketsuki Ueda, Ayano Christy Yoshida, Yuya Asato, and Hide Fukumoto. So I apologize very much for not doing a great job on the names.
That's okay. I'm sure it'll be fine.
But yeah, I'll just start briefly. Like, basically, so Seafood Monster Wars, and as I understand it, Minoru Kawasaki has done a few of these films before, so it harks back to like the 50s and 60s with the giant monster movies of Japan, the kaiju movies like Godzilla, Gamera, and so it's got like people in these big monster suits as they're in the city, and it's sort of like meshed together with people trying to fight them and stuff like that. So it takes that concept, and I guess in a way it's kind of trying to be a bit of a parody, satire kind of thing. It's definitely not easy to grasp whether it is or not. But yeah, for me personally, I'll just start with my positives. The monster costumes for the squid, octopus and crab are actually really, really good. They're very cute. I think they were really well done. It would have been really hard for the people in the suits to do what they have done, so I actually give them credit to that. The little sets and stuff look fairly decent, even though they're recycled through the whole movie. And yes, the battles are quite fun, and there's definitely an interesting foe that shows up later on. And they're pretty much the main positives I have. Unfortunately, this movie did not really gel with me. Monster Seafood Wars would have been a much better movie if it was primarily the monsters attacking the city with people trying to capture them. Instead, we've got this weird sort of like documentary style footage of people talking, and then there's like experts and even YouTubers, and it's just all throughout the movie, and things happen really quickly, and you can't keep up with what's going on. And then there's just, for some reason, there's like a love triangle, and then all of a sudden, people become obsessed with eating the giant monsters, and then it wants to put in a message about saving the world from hunger and pollution. It just really didn't work. Bede, what about you?
I have to agree. It's funny, like, I've heard a lot of good things from people who, when it came to this film, so I was very much looking forward to this film. And I love a good giant kaiju movie. Like, those are just kind of like, they're always a lot of fun. Like you said, the Godzilla films and Gamera, like, all those films are a lot of fun. And, like, this film does have aspects of that where it is pretty fun. Like you said, the monster battles are actually really fun and very cheesy and silly, but it kind of works because the film, in a way, like, when it comes to those scenes, the film knows exactly what it is and it doesn't make any apologies about how cheesy it is. Like, you can obviously tell in scenes where you got the monster's hands or tentacles or claws, like, going at other characters. It's pretty obvious, like, they're just basically like puppet tentacles, claws, and that just put in the foreground of a screen, just coming towards the characters, like something you like anyone who had a video camera at home would make, and which I thought was really fun. But when it comes to the scenes outside of those ones, I agree the film does become a bit of a slog. Like I said, it is definitely a film that definitely has a message at the center of it, with about. Because the main reason that these monsters were kind of created is basically to solve world hunger. And the film actually does make a literal stop to kind of have this scene of, archival footage and photos of the effects of ho world hunger in our world. And it feels like I do give the film credit for going for that message, because, like, a lot of the best kaiju movies always have a message like that at the center of their stories. But I feel like for this one, it feels very tacked on. And also the sort of the execution of all the other scenes, particularly the scenes with the human characters, are just not that interesting. Like, it's like I said before, I do like the lo-fi kind of approach that Minoru Kawasaki goes with the film, but I feel like the execution of the satire and the sort of the comedy and just doesn't really work. It feels like he's trying to have that mixture of the two, of satire and parody, but it never really sort of works either way, and a lot of the humor kind of just falls flat. And also, the performances from the cast just weren't that good either.
No. And that's the problem. It's really bogged down by the human characters. And, like, I have no interest in this love triangle. It just comes out of nowhere and it's there. Like, I would have preferred. Like, if you're gonna have that human interaction, like, I don't know why they tried to explain bits and pieces of it, because it hardly makes sense. And they explain it in one bit, and then explain it in another bit. And then things that have apparently happened, and we don't know that they've happened. And then you're left to wonder how, like, in what span is this all taking place? Because it happens very quickly, and the main character of Utah does not change his clothes.
Yeah, he's like
And
wearing a bowling shirt throughout most of the movie.
it just is weird. And it really doesn't work. It works when it's focused like on the monster action. And I think what would have been a more interesting look, like, I didn't mind this whole when they start eating the monster parts, like the tentacles and stuff that have come off the monster, like that kind of leads to a really different thing, but then it's almost like forgotten about. And I think that would have been interesting, like go into having these giant monsters that, like, you know, follow people around as they're like cleaning up and thinking, like, you know, how to make this as food, how do they get it to smaller, how do they, you know, maybe something like that would have been more interesting. I don't know, it just, for me, just, yeah, it fell really flat and I didn't find it all that funny. It was funny more on the cheesy side with the monsters and when they're attacking them, and even that, it just, it doesn't take it, it, that's not that long, and that should have been a lot longer.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can understand why, you know, I mean, when you look back on a lot of the, you know, kaiju films in the past, like the monsters actually appear very little in them when you think about it. Because I remember like half the time in the original Godzilla movies, like it could be like an 80-90 minute film and Godzilla's screen time would be, if you add it up all together, would probably be at least 10 minutes long or something like that. But the, I think the difference between that and this, I mean, not just because, you know, those films had much bigger budgets than this one does, it's because they sort of knew how to make at least the human side of the story and the characters at least engaging for us as a viewers.
Yeah, and here it's not, like, at all. I didn't really... They were not interesting. I didn't really find them engaging, and this whole, like, love triangle subplot, I just felt didn't go anywhere. There was no real character development. You don't know who they are. You don't care what happens to them. And you probably should.
Yeah, and even the character of Utah, he is kind of two-dimensional, and he actually... and he becomes kind of a bit of a dick as the movie goes along.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, for your main sort of character hero, he's not at all likable. Like, you're sitting there like, could they just step on him? Because that would be more interesting.
Exactly. But like I said, I think there are some interesting aspects about it. And I do give it credit for the approach it goes with. But I think at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like it was executed well enough to make it something truly fun. I think, like you said, when the monsters actually do show up, the film is at least fun on that level, but everything around it is just not.
Yeah, you sort of introduced to them very early, because these two monsters do show up within the first, like, 5 minutes. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be really fun, this looks cool, but then it just, like, they don't show up for ages, and you're just like, wait, what? These monsters have shown up and everyone's acting like things are normal. This does not compute.
Exactly. Like, especially, I mean, I know... Like, it's kind of one of those things where, like, if you see a bunch of monsters show up, like, the whole... People are going to react a certain way, but people kind of are very casual about it in this film. But I guess that's kind of part of the humor it's going for. Like, unlike, say, other kaiju films where people are frightened and running away and stuff like that, it's almost as if the characters here just don't really care and are just casual about it. Like, that could have worked on a level, but...
Casual.
Yeah, like that could have worked for and had a great grounds for humor there. But like I said, it all comes down to the execution, and it just didn't really execute that well.
Yeah, I think it just felt very, like, just choppy. It felt like it was missing a first act.
And also the interview scenes, some of which are, like, in the present, and others are kind of, like, set after the events of the story... They don't really sort of add much to the film, and they kind of just slow the film down. And I think if you cut all those scenes out, the film, I think, would play a lot better. But
yeah,
I think, just
to interject there, if they cut that out and maybe added more, I guess, character development, a few more monster moments, something like that, it might have worked better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, you can continue.
No, that was pretty much it. Like, it just... Like, I think, like I said, if those scenes weren't in the film, I think the film probably would have run a bit more smoother, and you probably would have had... I mean, I get what they're there for, to kind of explain certain things and see how people around Tokyo are reacting to these monsters, and also how, like, the impact that they've had. But yeah, they're just not really all that interesting, and half the time they're just kind of useless, really.
Yeah, the only time it works is when there's just suddenly a boom in monster meat at restaurants, and you're seeing like YouTubers trying the food and stuff like that. Like, that was pretty entertaining, but that's pretty much the only bit for me that it worked.
Yeah, I agree. And but yeah, that like in the end, was looking forward to this one, but yeah, unfortunately it was a bit of a underwhelming disappointment.
Yeah, it left me mostly disappointed, and I was quite keen to check it out. So, well, out of five, I've actually just given this 1.5 stars, and it does pain me to give a movie such a low rating, but I really can't justify giving it a higher rating. What about yourself?
I think I'd liked it just a tad a little bit more than you, but you know, that's not really saying much. Like, I admire the ambition and the approach it took with its story, and of course the monster battles being a lot of fun and the designs of them were pretty cool, but everything else around those aspects was just kind of eh to me. So I'm gonna give this one at least 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Definitely, if anyone else has checked this out at Fantasia or has seen it elsewhere, definitely hit us up because we would be curious to hear what you think, and if you think we're completely wrong or completely correct. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. And as always, you can check out all the coverage that we have for Fantasia at supermarcy.com.
Exactly, and we'll be back very soon with more reviews for the Fantasia Film Festival.
Yep, keep an eye out, everybody, and we'll speak to you soon.
See everyone. Bye.
Bye. All right, and done. That went really well. I think we had a pretty good discussion.